grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from today's Holy Gospel found in Mark chapter 1. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. This is God's word. We read in our gospel today, which continues to follow through Mark chapter 1, that Simon, the other disciples who were with him, likely the ones we heard Jesus call a couple weeks ago, Simon and Andrew, James and John, they find Jesus and they say to him, "Everyone is looking for you." Those are pretty profound words, aren't they? Because, I mean, those are words that kind of still ring true today. People are always looking for Jesus. Isn't that why a lot of people visit a church when maybe they haven't previously gone to a church? Maybe isn't that why a person gets drawn to a teacher or a preacher of the Christian faith? They're looking for Jesus. They're looking for Jesus to give them healing in the face of their sickness or in the face of death. They're looking for Jesus to find some kind of blessing in the face of their needs. They're looking for Jesus to deliver them from some sort of evil that they face. They're looking for Jesus and his word to bring clarity about something that gives them confusion, something they don't understand. Or they're even those who are looking for Jesus skeptically. They want proof in the face of their doubt. Even the atheists are, in a sense, looking for Jesus, constantly challenging us as Christians to come up with a reason for the hope that's within us, to give a proof to Jesus' existence and his salvation. Crowds followed Jesus. We can imagine if Jesus had done his ministry in the 21st century instead of the first century, we'd have been likely intrigued as well and would have followed him. They sought Jesus as word of his power spread throughout Galilee. And throughout history, people have continued to seek after Jesus. They want him to reveal his power like we see in the gospel today. They want him to speak and preach to them and lend clarity to words that have been confusing for 2,000 years. TV preachers promise that they will show you Jesus. They'll unlock his power so you can live your best life now or receive healing in Jesus' name. Churches will promise a connection with his glory, that you will experience him and know that he is there among you, that he will fulfill you and you will leave with the right feeling on a Sunday morning. And of course, the modern teachers promise that Jesus is found in our social justice causes, that he's about love and acceptance. Jesus doesn't condemn sin. He was all about loving people, or so it goes. So I ask you this morning to ask yourself, where are you looking for Jesus? Because a lot of people think that Jesus is found wherever the miracles are happening. And during this Epiphany season, it's traditional that we hear these accounts from the Gospels of Jesus doing miracles. And a lot of people, likewise, they think if the miraculous is happening, that's where Jesus is. And conversely, if there are no miracles, Jesus must not be there. We have miracles in our gospel today. Jesus healing Simon's mother-in-law ill with a fever. Jesus healing those who were sick that came to him. Jesus casting out demons. A lot of people connect Jesus' presence with these glorious things, big miracles, amazing things happening. And yet, Jesus doesn't connect his presence with his miracles. He connects it with the preaching of the gospel. We read it a couple weeks ago in Mark 1. Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe in the gospel. Or today in our gospel, he says, let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also. For that is why I came out. Where is Jesus? Jesus is found where people are broken, where they are hurting, where they are afflicted by Satan, and he goes there to them to preach the gospel. He goes to the sick, to those who are broken in their body. He goes to those who are possessed or afflicted in spirit. He confronts the religious establishment overcome with their self-righteousness, and he preaches the gospel. That's why Jesus came. It was all about the gospel. Now let me answer the obvious question. What is the gospel? What was it that Jesus proclaimed? We actually heard that at the very beginning of Mark's gospel, all the way back in Advent. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's how Mark began his book. What is the gospel? It is that God's own Son came to earth in human flesh and bore the sins of the world onto the cross, shed his blood for them, and rose again victorious over the grave on the third day. That is the gospel. And that is what Jesus was all about, sharing that gospel, that he was there to defeat sin and death and the devil through his death on the cross and his victory over the grave. That is the sum and substance of his message, and that, he says, is why he came, to deliver that good news. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The gospel is that sin is paid in full. That your debt that you owe to God because of your sins is paid in full. And that the tomb on Easter morning is empty. Death is defeated. In fact, that's how Mark mysteriously ends his gospel. We don't ever see Jesus, we just see an empty tomb, and everyone's afraid, because dead people don't live, except in the case of Jesus, he does, and you will as well. That's the gospel. That's what Jesus came to proclaim, and that is where Jesus is found, where the gospel is proclaimed, where sins are forgiven, where water joined to word washes away sinful flesh, where bread and wine joined to body and blood pledge to you the forgiveness of all of your sins. Where is Jesus? He's in his word. He's in this good news that sin is taken away, death is defeated, and you are God's dear child. That is why Jesus comes. He comes for the broken. And we see that theme all throughout Mark's gospel, all throughout all the gospels, really. Jesus comes for the broken, the messed up, the afflicted, for those under attack from the devil. You know who that is? That's you. That's me. Broken, afflicted, diseased by sin. And that is precisely who Jesus comes for. It's who he chose to be around during his earthly ministry. It's who he chooses to be among today. He chooses to be with you. He chooses to come where we are broken and afflicted and beaten down by sin, death, the devil, and the world. And we're filled with all manner of wickedness, attacked by sickness and disease, death, grief, doubt, guilt, all these things that plague us. And yet, we know in our own heart of hearts that if anyone could see to the depths of us, no one would come to be with us. No one would go to any great lengths to spend time with us. I know it of my own heart. I know that if all of you could see the thoughts and intentions of my heart, what goes through my mind, you could see my past, see everything I've done, none of you would go to any great lengths to spend time with me, let alone call me to serve as your pastor. I know you all feel the same way, because you know what's in your heart, you know what's in your mind, you know what guilt you have. Who in their right mind would go to any great lengths to come to you or to me? Jesus would. And he does. Jesus comes to make his home with sinners, of which, thanks be to God, that's who we are. What a weird thing to say, thanks be to God that we are sinners. Well, it's to the sinners that Jesus came. It's to them that he comes to bring healing and righteousness and forgiveness. Jesus said in our gospel, let us go to the other towns. That's why I came to preach to them. Jesus likewise says to his Father and to the Holy Spirit, let us go. That's why I came, to shed my blood, to give my life, to conquer the grave. And so Jesus says to Father and the Spirit, let us go make our home with broken sinners, with those who have nothing to offer us, but we will give them everything. We will give them eternity lived in peace and righteousness. As the Old Testament reading said today, he gives power to the faint and to him who has no might. He increases strength. They who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The faint, the weak, the broken, the Lord offers them strength through his love, forgiveness, life, and salvation. Dear friends in Christ, that's the gospel. That you have this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Not because of anything you have to offer, not because of any great quality that you possess, but simply because you are God's creation and he desires to rescue his creation and love it. And he does so through his Son, Jesus Christ. That's our message. That's the gospel. Like Paul, we say, woe to us if we do not preach the gospel. Because it's really all we have to offer the world. In this broken world we live in, where there's still the attacks of Satan, disease, probably in ways that we can't understand, demons and spiritual powers afflicting us. Not a whole lot different from the time when Jesus lived. As Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. Book of Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. The same problems that afflicted the world in Jesus' time, afflict us now. And so woe to us if we don't preach the gospel. Well, the gospel we do proclaim, and the gospel you do hear this day, that Jesus is your Lord, who has died for you and ransomed you from the grave, and restored you to being God's dear child. He does it in baptism. He does it in the body and blood he offers you this morning. He does it in the word of the gospel. Christ for sinners, now and always. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.